Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. We will read the verses 18 through 29. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning verse 18 through verse 29. This is the letter to the church of Thyatira. Revelation 2, beginning verse 18. This is what God says in His Word. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have these against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her unto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am He who searches mind and heart. And I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we read your Holy Scripture. And now we pray, Lord, that may your Holy Spirit can work on us. May God, your Holy Spirit can open our hearts and our minds and destroy everything who is putting us far from your presence. Kill our sin and help us to glorify your name, being faithful to you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in the book of Revelation, the letters of the churches. And here we are dealing with a very different church from all the other churches. First of all, because this letter is the biggest letter that God sent to His church. We have other letters, but this one specifically is the biggest of all of them. And here, God decides to use some names and He decides to present Himself as a unique moment in the whole book of Revelation. We will see that He uses some names to express His greatness, because He is dealing with a church who is not understanding who their God is. This is the problem of the church of Thyatira. They knew their God in many ways, but they decide to follow those who were not following God, and they were eating their meals, they were bowing down to their gods, and they were tasting everything that this world can offer instead of look only to God. This is the first time that we will see also in the letters God speaking so deeply about the sin of the church. In the other letters, he spoke about the sin, but here he's very precise. He quotes names. He speaks about practices that they were doing. And all of this is because the church of Thyatira was a church who were in danger. Which kind of danger? The danger of tolerance. Tolerance here is the biggest problem of this church. We will understand better while we look to the text. But I want you to realize that this is what we are looking to see and to understand in the whole letter to the church of Thyatira. Beginning verse 18, the angel of the church, he brought this letter to the church of Thyatira. Two specific terms will present Jesus Christ here. The first of them is the words of the Son of God. This is specifically in Revelation 1 verse 13, by which God is presenting himself as the Son of Man. But the problem here is that God doesn't want them to see him as the Son of Man, as he made in the first chapter of this book. The only place in the whole book which speaks about Jesus Christ as the Son of God is here in verse 18 of chapter 2. And of course, it was purpose. God had purpose with this name. Jesus was speaking to them, showing himself as the Son of God, to make them understand that he was not a normal man. He was not like one of them, by which they could treat like a special prophet or a person by which they could respect and admire. But he was speaking about himself, saying, "I am the Son of God." If he's the Son of God, he's saying that he is God itself. Because God, of course, cannot be divided. And the term Son of God, the name Son of God, express the greatness of the Son of God. It says that he is the Almighty Son of God. He is the powerful God. He is the one who can make everything this world. And because of this, they should look to him and fear him. This is the purpose of this name. God is presenting himself as the Son of God. And the other part of the verse says, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Why did he choose these specific qualifications of the Son of God, which are in verse 14? Because he wants to show them to the church of Thyatira that he is the powerful God. We need to understand the precision of the words by which God is using in this verse. He's saying, look at me, but don't look at me as a friend. Don't look at me as a father right now. Don't look at me as a prophet or as a great person. Look at me and fear me, because I am the powerful God. And God is doing this because He had a specific purpose to this church. And we will not take too long in this presentation. So in verse 19, He speaks about the good deeds of this church. And it's very strange to see verse 19 in contrast with the rest of these verses. Because in verse 19 we can see a church which is full of the fruits of the Spirit. It's amazing. Look, He's saying, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So they had many fruits of the Spirit. They were a truly church. They were a church who were living a life by which God was have pleasing on them. He was looking to them and say, this is a truly church, a real church of Jesus Christ. They are doing very well. Look, their love. They are loving their neighbor as thyself. They are taking care of the poor. They are sacrificing themselves by the others. Look, their faith. They are not in doubt about Jesus Christ. They are paying the price of persecution, because of course this church was also struggling with persecution. Many of this church probably died because of the name of Jesus Christ. They were being faithful. They were a service church which was offering their lives, their possessions, everything. The patient endurance. And the last phrase is even more curious. Your later words exceed the first. What is that explaining to us? He's saying that this church was growing and making a wonderful job, and with the years they were growing more and they were spreading more love and they were showing more faith. They were doing very well. This is a church by which we can look and we can see that they were a truly church of Jesus Christ. However, there is something in this church which changed completely the context of this letter. It's a specific thing which was growing inside the church, and it was destroying the church from the inside. And let's look to verse 20 and we will realize what God is speaking to His church. But I have these against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who call herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. That is very specific. Of course, the prophetess named Jezebel, it's not Jezebel, the name, probably it's an allusion of Kings, First Kings, of the wife of Ada, the king Ada, which was a woman who became a murderer and an idolater, and she made other and a lot of people in the kingdom of God by that time to bow down to other gods. And here God is speaking about this woman, by which we don't know the name probably. And He's referring to her as Jezebel because her acts are exactly the same of the Jezebel of First Kings. She was calling herself a prophetess, this is already a big problem, because she was saying that through her, God was speaking new revelations to the church. This is what a prophet makes. He brings the word of God. Here, we already have established by the end of the Bible, by Revelation, the church already knew that the books of the Bible came from the disciples, and they were already being distributed for all the churches. But this woman was saying that he was bringing new interpretations, new revelations from God. And the problem of all of these is that she was taking for herself a place that belongs only to Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus Christ would have a problem with this woman. But the teaching of this woman is even worse. And this is why we cannot understand what is happening in the church of Thyatira. Because she was not teaching like many other prophets in that first century who were trying to offer new revelations of God, as we have today, people who say that they have in their own mouths the Word of God. But she was speaking and teaching sexual immorality, and she was teaching them to eat food sacrificed to idols. And this is completely contrary, not only to the New Testament, but also for everything that we know about our God, about the commandments. It's something that goes against the commandments of Jesus Christ, which we have in Exodus chapter 20. It's against the teaching of all the prophets who call the church to holiness. It's against the church by itself, who was practicing and living like Jesus Christ. They were willing to live a holy life. They were willing to fulfill the commandments of God. And here, she was convincing, seducing the servants of God to do those things. The big, big problem for us is that this thing is happening in the first century of the church. Sometimes we think that what is happening in many churches around the world today with liberalism is new. That they are living their lives, they are spreading their teaching, and that those things are just things that are coming now in the 19th, 20th century. But then we realize that this was already happening in the first century in the church of Thyatira. This prophetess was teaching that it is okay to live an immoral life, sexual immoral life. We don't know exactly what this means, because we don't know if she was convincing them to like partake in feasts, or if she was convincing them to commit adultery. We don't know exactly what that means, but if we go ahead some verses, we will see that God is calling those who didn't adulter with her. So we need to see that the reality of her teaching is that she was teaching something that was against the revelation of God. Probably this is connected to the feasts of the city of Thyatira, which was a city who made many trades where many people came to make commerce there. And to sell and to buy, they need to partake in many feasts. And in those parties, they need to observe and sleep with many women. They need to drink too much and they would lose their conscience and they would partake in many different things. And they were eating their food, and those food were offered to idols. So they were involved in all of those things, but she was convincing them that this was okay. Yeah, it's okay. You need to survive, right? You need to continue your life. You need to do whatever you want to make yourself happy and to fulfill your desires. And she was teaching those things as a prophetess, saying, this is what God wants for you. This is coming from God. He's calling you to live this life. This is exactly what we can see today in many liberal churches, which are teaching that sin is not sin anymore, which are teaching that the Scripture teaches about a God of love, and He is not the holy God as we think He is. And He is actually a very good God who will accept you wherever you are, in the way you are, and feeling what you want, and your desires are not a problem to Him. You can just come and search Him, and you will feel His love, and it's everything okay. And by those teachings, people are coming to church and committing sin among the church who's supposed to be a church of Jesus Christ. But they are not. And this is the truth for today and for that day. God will not tolerate tolerance to sin in His church. This is the truth that we will see here. Look to Jezebel. Look to this woman. Look what she's doing. And then look to verse 21 and see that God already gave her time to repent. This is what God gives to His people. He calls a real prophet. And this real prophet came to her. We don't know which prophet. We don't know who was this person. But they came to her and they said, repent. God is calling you, Jezebel, to repent. And if you don't repent, you will see God judging you. But of course, verse 21 says that she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. She refuses to repent. That is exactly what we have today. When we speak with a supposed Christian, which thinks like a liberal, and he says, for example, that homosexuality is not a sin. And we show to him in the Bible saying, look, the Bible says that this is a sin. It's clear. You don't need to go deep and go learn Greek or Hebrew to know that. It's simple. And they say, no, that's wrong. That's completely wrong. God is not doing this. God is not believing in this. God is accepting everyone. God is love. God is love. God is love. They are saying, we will not repent. But of course, this doesn't change the Scripture. This doesn't change the message. And this doesn't change our God. Behold, that is what God says in verse 21. I will throw her on a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into a great tribulation. Every sin has consequences in this life. We don't realize that sometimes. We don't realize how much damage a sin can bring to a church. How a sin who is not called by the elders or by the deacons or by the church itself, when the church just tolerates sin, we don't know how much damage this can make to a church. Now we can see many churches being closed. And this is happening everywhere. If you go to Europe today, the churches, like this one, beautiful buildings, they have no one inside. And now they are using for bars or something else. Because there are no believers there. Because they tolerate sin so much that they are not part of the flock anymore. God didn't call us to be a church who will live like we want. God called us to be like Jesus. We should reflect His light. And Jesus Christ is holy. That is why He paid the price of our sins at the cross. Because He never commit one sin. Even one sin. Even when He was a child. Even when He was a teenage. He never act against the law of God. And then we look to Him and we think that He is so good. That He will accept our sins forever. And this is not the truth. I don't know how you are living, how you are dealing with this truth here. I'm not thinking only in sexual immorality or in sacrifices to other idols. I'm thinking about sin by itself. Jesus is saying to this church that He will not tolerate our sins. Thinking like that, we need to see and we need to realize that God is giving us today another chance to repent and to come back to Him. And if we do that, He will be merciful with us. But if we continue to fight against God and to fight against His law and to fight against His commandments, one day God will come to us and He will say, "Behold, I give you time. I give you many options. I give you everything you need to repent. But now, you will learn through many tribulations." This for those who are servants of God. Because we need to understand that here we are not speaking about unbelievers. God is speaking to His church, "My servants," is there in verse 20. "My servants, they are committing adultery. They are having sexual immorality. They are bowing down to other idols. My servants." And God is saying, "I will come to them with great tribulation." It's interesting because this church is already having tribulation. They are already in persecution. They are already seeing their friends and their families being murdered by the Roman Empire. And God is telling to them, "Look, it's just the beginning. Great tribulation." But this is not the message for the church of Thyatira. This is the context that we have here. This is the reality of this church. Satan was attacking the church from inside. He put someone, Satan put someone in the church who was convincing them that sexual immorality was okay, that they could commit adultery, that they could have relationships, sexual relationships out of their marriage, the bounds of marriage. And they were committing those things, because of someone from inside of this church. But God is doing all of this, and He's speaking all of this because He was calling them to repent. Can you see that here? God is being extremely grateful with His church. He's telling to His church, look, you are already doing those things for many years. And now, through John, I will send another letter. He already sent prophets to Jezebel and to this church. But now He's sending again. He's saying again, repent, repent, come to Me. I am the answer. I can save you from those things. I can help you in your struggles. I am a merciful God. I am not this God who will come to destroy you. Don't think like me like that. I am the powerful God, but I am giving you another chance. Repent. Repent and come to Me. This is grace. This is the love of God. Coming to this church who are doing terrible things. And then, in verse 23, we see in part B, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. What He is speaking with this verse, He is speaking that our works will bring consequence to our lives. He's saying that if you repent, you will find mercy. If you don't repent, do not cry. You are submitting yourself to God. Can you see that sometimes when we are before the Scripture, when we are before our God, when we see His greatness and His power and His teaching, we should learn what to do and we should be wise and choose the right way. Why do we continue to commit the same sin for so long? Why we are still struggling with the same fights that we had 2, 3, 4 years ago? Why we are doing this with ourselves? We have a merciful God who is calling us to His presence. And there is nothing better than His presence. In His presence, even Jezebel could find grace and mercy. And she was responsible. She was responsible for all of those things. But God gave to her another chance, saying, come to Me and I will show you the love, the real love of God, who is among those who walks with Jesus Christ, who follow His commandments, and who live a life to Him. Look what He says in verse 24. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, this is not a problem of the whole church, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. To you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. We need to deal with reality sometimes. And this verse brings a lot of reality to the church of Jesus Christ. It's speaking about those in the church of Thyatira who were not bowing down to those things. They were not partaking with the sexual immorality. They were not partaking to eating the food of the idols. And for those, God said, you already have enough burden. He was not saying, I will not give you a wonderful life and you will have peace and comfort in your life. This is reality. God is calling us to serve, and to serve, we need to pay a price. They were blessed by God for being the church, the real church of Jesus Christ there. They didn't bow down to sin. They were not tolerant to sin. But they still need to fulfill their work among the church. They continue to spread the gospel. They continue to live a holy life. They continue to be martyred by the name of Jesus Christ. God is not promising to the church that if we walk with Him without sin, that if we fight against sin, we will have a perfect life in this world. He's not saying that. He's saying that His presence will be with us. And this is what the next verse will say. Only hold fast what you have until I come. Hold fast. Hold fast in purity. Hold fast. And you will see me coming from heaven. And I will come to you. Hold fast. Hold fast in my word. Hold fast even if the world around you is teaching other teachings. If they are trying to convince you to live a life without Jesus Christ, a sinful life, hold fast. Hold fast in my promises. Hold fast that I will be your treasure in this world. Hold fast. Know that I am the mighty God. That I am the only way. That I am the only Savior. Hold fast on me and you will find grace among tribulations. You will find hope even when everything is lost. You will see your Lord in heaven. He will shine to you. This is something that only real believers knows. Only those who really have assurance in the power of Jesus Christ, they feel in their hearts. Doesn't matter if sickness is coming, if we are dying. It doesn't matter if they are trying to kill us. It doesn't matter anything. We have the most important treasure, Jesus. He is everything we need. And that is why it's wonderful to serve Him in this world. This is the most benefit that we can have. I don't know how things will go when we go to heaven. But if, I don't know if that will happen, if we look behind, if when we were there, we look behind to see our lives, we will probably repent for many and many years that we live for ourselves instead of live for the God of the Scripture. Because we are losing time many days. We are living many days in our lives for things that doesn't bring anything, it did not bring any hope in the presence of God. Sometimes we are using our time in things like Facebook, like Instagram, and social medias, and we are there for a long time, and we keep doing many and many things, but we don't share even one portion of the Scriptures with anyone. And we don't realize that we are just wasting time. Sometimes we go to soccer, to football, to baseball, and we spend like 30 hours a week in those things, and we don't realize that we don't pass like 5 hours a week in front of the Scriptures. Praying. Something easy to do. You can just close your eyes and talk to God, but sometimes we don't pray even 1 hour a week. It's too much. And when we come to church and the pastor makes that long prayer, ooh, it would be better if he prayed for 2 minutes, right? That is a problem. in our hearts. Because we are loving more this word than God. We are loving more the culture around us than the things of God. We cannot say that there is nothing to do. How many sick people do you know today? When was the last time that you visited them to pray with them, to sing with them, to bring hope to their hearts? Of course, we are busy with many other things. How many lost people, unbelievers, are around us? How many neighbors do we have that never before learned about the cross? Why we are wasting our time calling them to a baseball game instead of calling them to worship in our house? Why are we feasting, why we are celebrating birthdays with happy birthday instead of prayers and reading of the scripture and using this moment to the benefit of the gospel? Why are we spending our lives to this word? Look to the scripture. Look to the men of the scripture. Look to those who we can see here. They are not wasting time. Paul said, look, preach the gospel. If it's good to preach, preach. And if they don't want you to preach, preach, preach. Never stop to preach. Never stop to pray. This is something that the scripture speaks in many verses, in many different books. Pray all time. And when we go to a car, instead of pray, we play music. When we go to the bed, instead of play, we'll roll or scream in the cell phone and do many things besides pray. And when we go to a bed, to the bed, we like to sing and to listen some music or podcast, I don't know. But we don't pray. We don't pray anymore. Just for meals. This is something that needs to change. This is something that he is speaking to them. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast in my law. Hold fast in my gospel. Love me. Continue to have me as your Lord and Savior. And you will find mercy. Look to the treasure for this church. In verse 26 to 28. The one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. Look, the result of being with God, we will be rulers of this world. Of course we don't deserve to be there. Of course not. But we will be, not because of us, but because of our Savior. He's saying, hold fast with me, and you will conquer the world. You will be the king of the new heaven and the new earth. The queen of the kingdom of God. Not because of you, but because of the one who will be seated in the throne. Jesus Christ, the Savior and the Lord. This is what is expecting the church. This is our future. Nothing is compared to His presence. We will live with Him forever. And also, verse 28 includes, and I will give Him the morning star. What is the morning star? The morning star, of course, is pointing to Christ again. Christ, the morning star, the one who will bring salvation. We will find mercy. Do you doubt? Are you in doubt that you will find mercy from God? Look to the morning star. Look to Christ. It doesn't matter your sin. Ah, but you don't know what I made. In my past, I did many terrible things. I am
the worst person in this world. I want to see you competing with Paul, who was a murderer of the church, a persecutor of Christ, and he found mercy. Everyone can find mercy because the morning star is shining. He's looking to you and he's calling you to his presence and he's saying that he can save you from your sins. He can help you to fight your sins. He can help you to be a holy person, a holy Christian. He can help you to praise the name of the Lord. So look to him and follow him. And it's funny because in all the churches he says what we will read in verse 29, but here it fits perfect. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Just listen to his voice, his sweet voice, who is calling you to him. We don't have a church in Thyatira anymore. Today, if you go to Turkey, you will not find this church. Maybe you can find some destroyed places, or I don't know what you can find there. I think it's one of the most difficult churches to be found until today. But there is no church alive in Thyatira today. This is different from the church of Ephesus, for example. This is different from other churches like Smyrna, who still today have a church who is trying to fulfill their work. But for the church of Thyatira, God took their place. Probably they were destroyed. And it's not only by their enemies. This is the result of the whole book of Revelation. The lampstands belongs to God. And when God wants to move his lampstands, he just make it. The gospel, the church was strong in Africa. Then it was strong in Europe. Now it's strong in America and both Americas. But God can move his lampstand. And he will move if we not hold fast. If we not stay in his presence. If we not do our work. Church of Christ, what we supposed to do dealing with this teaching? We need to learn that we cannot tolerate sin among us. And first, we need to look to ourselves. Do not tolerate sin in your life. Do not tolerate Satan using you to spread darkness instead of light. Do not tolerate Satan using your body to act against God. Do not tolerate that your hands take things that doesn't proclaim the name of God or worship God. Do not tolerate that your brain think in things that will not praise the name of the Lord. Fight against sin. Do not tolerate sin in your heart. Fight against your idols. Destroy them. You have the power of Jesus Christ with you. Just rise up and fight. And we will see him helping us. and blessing us, and we will see His face, and He will shine on us and through us. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad for the letter to the church of Thyatira, which reminds us, God, that we have a chance before a merciful God. We know that we are the church of Jesus Christ who is meeting here at Walker URC. But we ask you, Lord, with our hearts on fire, that you can come and kill our sins, making us holy, making us a church who will shine the light of Jesus Christ, and making us good servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us strength, Lord, to fight back. Give us power, God, to defeat our enemies. And help us to love you more than anything in this world. We pray this in Jesus.